Father, we praise you for the many blessings that you have given us. We can't fathom the depth of them. All that we have in Christ, all that you have given us here, we have so many blessings from your hand. We thank you for life. And we thank you for new life in Christ. We praise you for this holiday weekend. Thank you for our nation that we have the privilege to be living here. We pray for it once again, for revival and renewal here in this land, that your people will be right with you across the land, including us here. Father, you work in our hearts. If there are things in any of us that are displeasing to you, we don't want them there. And we pray that you would open our eyes to see them today, if that is what is needed, that we might repent and turn from them. We pray that we would see the blessings you've given us. Open our eyes to understand them as we spend this hour together and as we go to the Lord's table today, that we would see anew and in a deeper way all that Christ did for us to save us from our sins. And Father, we pray that as we leave this place today, we will leave changed, people that are more aware of the blessings and the challenges and the calling that you have on each of us to live for Christ through this week. Use us to touch the lives of our relatives. We may be seeing a number of them we don't normally see due to the holiday weekend. Whatever our situation is today, that each of us will go into this week refreshed and renewed and ready to serve in this continuing journey to your throne. Thank you again for this hour. Bless the worship time. Bless the pastor. Fill him with your spirit and use him to speak to our hearts today. And again, bless around the Lord's table. And we give thanks and praise for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's turn to hymn number 327 as we continue in our worship.
Today is in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. We'll read this and then have a word of prayer. Mark chapter 7. Beginning at verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashen hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered them, said unto them, Well has Isaiah prophesied to you hypocrites, of you hypocrites rather, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Let's have a word of prayer together. Most gracious Father in heaven, this morning, as we come into your presence, we thank you and praise you for your great grace and your love and mercy to us. We thank you that salvation is of the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing we can do, our Father, no tradition that we can follow, no customs, nothing that can enable us to be in your presence justified. We thank you for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us on the cross, that we might have everlasting life, that we might have salvation through him. And we thank you, Lord, that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ. We do pray this morning, our Father, your blessings upon our congregation. We just thank you for each person who is here today and pray that you will speak to each one of our hearts and assure us of your grace and your mercy to us. May we love you and serve you with all of our hearts. We do pray, our Father, for those who are in need today. We know that there are many who are suffering in one way or another, and we ask you to be with them and comfort them and strengthen them and meet their needs. We think of Sue Ellen's aunt, Connie. We do pray for her, dear Lord, this morning, that you will have your own will and way in her life. We just pray that you'll give comfort and strength to her and to her family during these days. And Lord, we pray for Amber. We pray for this special surgery that she's going to have, and pray that it will go well and that they can give her a treatment for this problem that's in her brain, and pray that everything will work out best for that. And dear Lord, we just ask you to guide and help us all in everything that we do. We think of the church here and pray that you'll help us in all the various things that we're working on. We think of our missionaries. We thank you for each one of them and ask your blessings on them today. Pray that you'll continue to use them in reaching out to people with the gospel. We think of the missionary that's coming next Sunday, John Tolbert. We pray for him and his wife that you'll bless their ministry among us, and that we might understand more fully the work that they're doing and how we can help in some project that they might have. Lord, we just ask you to guide us and help us now, and bless your word to our hearts today, and speak to us and teach us what we need to know, that we might be faithful to you in every area of life. And we ask you, Lord, to guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you notice your bulletin this morning? Look on the front cover of the bulletin. See what it says? What does it say? Jesus is Lord. What do you think? Amen. Huh? Let's all say that together. What do you think? Can you say it? Jesus is Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's great. We had one other little item of business to take care of, I think, Mark. I think Joshua has a birthday, and Julia, do you have a birthday? I think you do. Okay, you just stand where you are, and we'll sing to you. Okay? All right. If I can get myself situated here. Turn back to Mark chapter 7 again. It's a little different kind of message today, but one that's important. You know, the Word of God is all important, isn't it? And today we're looking at tradition or truth. The tradition of the elders or the commandments of God. What is tradition? I looked it up in a dictionary. It says it's a transmittal of elements of a culture from one generation to another, especially by oral communication. So it's passing the word of mouth on from one generation to another to start with, and then sometimes it gets written down. It also says customs and usages transmitted from one generation to another. It's the heritage of a people, a body of unwritten religious precepts, or a time-honored practice, or a set of such practices. So that's the idea of tradition, and we have all kinds of traditions. Everyone has certain ones, depending on your family background or your ethnic background or whatever. And in the United States, of course, we have our traditions. Around the holiday times, we all do the same thing every year, don't we? Pretty well. And there's nothing wrong with that. They're not necessarily bad, unless they conflict with the truth of God's Word. That's where the problems come in. The word for tradition appears 13 times in the New Testament, and in most cases it's cast in a negative light. Sometimes it's tradition. Paul spoke of the traditions he had, which was a good thing. We follow certain traditions in the Christian faith as well. In our scripture for today, the problem is that the disciples of Jesus are not keeping the tradition of the elders. That's very clear, isn't it? This was the body of extra-biblical laws and interpretations of Scripture, which had in actuality replaced Scripture as the highest religious authority. Man's tradition had replaced God's Word. Now, does that ever happen today? I think if you go to many, many churches, you'll find a completely different message than what we have here from the Word of God. Unfortunately, man's tradition often replaces what God has to say. Now, here in our text, Mark chapter 7, we find, it says, they came together unto him, the Pharisees, and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. Now Jesus was someplace else, wasn't he? In Galilee. But these delegation had come up from Jerusalem, especially to examine what Jesus was teaching, to see what's happening, and try to find fault with everything that they were doing, to criticize his work and to turn the other people against him. This is their main reason, as we see so often. The Pharisees and scribes were busy doing this kind of work. They observed here that his disciples did not follow the rituals that they followed. All the Jews, it says, followed the tradition of the elders. So something that was expected of the people. And then these Pharisees come along, and they find out that the disciples are not washing their hands in the manner that they had to wash them when they came to eat their meals, when they came back from the market or whatever. And it was not for cleanliness' sake. This wasn't the idea. They weren't concerned about their health. This is about, you know, the tradition. You've got to follow their tradition, you know. I don't know if you ever saw Fiddler on the Roof. I always see that fellow standing up on the roof there. Tradition! You know. Anyway, this is the way that they thought. You had to do exactly what the tradition said. Not so much what God's Word said, but what they had added to it. And they had a certain way of washing their hands. They had to put their, you know, down a certain way, and then scrub it with their fist, and all this, and then back the other way, pouring water over their hands, and all this ceremony that they went through. Very elaborate practice, which is a part of their the tradition of the elders. Now, Paul speaks of this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. He says, "For you have heard of my conversation or my lifestyle in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers." You see, this was his main thing, following the traditions and maintaining everything according to what the tradition said. So before his conversion, Paul was very careful to follow all of these traditions, the rules, regulations, and the customs that they had. Another scripture in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So the Apostle Peter here reminds believers that it is the blood of Christ that saves us from our sins. It's not anything that we do. It's not the keeping of any tradition, in following after something that has gone on before. No, it is believing that Jesus died for us, that he was buried and arose again, and that we have eternal life in him. It's his precious blood that saves us. Anyway, we find here the Pharisees confront Jesus with a question: "Why do your disciples not keep the tradition of the elders?" You know, the interesting thing is, Jesus never does seem to exactly answer the questions that these people ask. If you've noticed that as you read through the New Testament, almost always he'll answer them with another question and say, well, you know, if that's so, why don't you do this? You see? And that's what he does here. He says, "Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites." Notice his opinion of them right away. "As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do." So Jesus takes them back to the Old Testament, to the scriptures, to the prophet Isaiah. This is found in Isaiah 29, verse 13. He quotes it to them here. He says, "You're just playing a part. You know, you go through the motions like an actor." You know, that's what a hypocrite is, right? An actor going through the motions, pretending to honor God, but with your heart, you don't love God. You're not seeking to do his will. You're merely going through these motions. So they're playing a part. So he places their own ideas, they place their own ideas above the Word of God. He says, "Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." You see? Yeah, and that's a danger, I think. It can happen, can't it? We get certain things that we want to do, that we sometimes, with the way we interpret certain scriptures, that may not necessarily be in keeping with what God intended. Right? So we have to be very careful about that. And make sure that we are really obeying what God is saying to us. These people, I mean, I'm sure they intended well, probably, and had these customs and traditions that they came up with. But the point is that you can't nullify the Word of God with other things, with the commandments of men. So Jesus gives the example here. He explains to them. He says in verse 9, "Full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition." You see? There's the rub right there. Placing your tradition above what God says. And it nullifies what he's trying to get across. Then he takes us back to Exodus. And he says in verse 10, "For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother." We know that's one of the Ten Commandments, right? "And whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death." Okay? Honor your father and your mother. That's we know that very well. Tradition, however, allows them to not give to their father and mother that which they should. Notice what he says here. "But you say," see, "if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban," that is to say a gift, it means dedicated to God. Okay? That's what Corban means. "By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free." In other words, instead of helping your father and mother in their old age, when they are in need, you take and you dedicate everything to the temple and say, "Oh, this is dedicated to God. I can't help you." You know, I don't know what's happened here. Perhaps the son or the daughter have fallen out with their parents. I don't know. They're not pleased with them for some reason. And so rather than help them, they say, "Well, we're going to dedicate this to God. We're very spiritual people." You know, giving everything away, and we can't possibly help you. And Jesus says that will not cut it. It doesn't work. He says you have to obey what God says. He says honor your father and your mother, whatever that means to you. Whatever, you know, and whatever the circumstances might be. And you don't get away with disregarding your parents or criticizing them, turning against them. He says that won't work. And he says it's a direct violation of God's commandment to not honor your father and your mother. It nullifies the word of God. And that's just one example, of course. He could have named any of the other commandments, I'm sure, and come up with the same conclusion. You know, Scripture says very clearly we ought to obey God rather than men, right? In every instance, and here is a perfect example of that. So he says you make the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Okay, so. He finishes with the Pharisees, and then he talks to the people. Verse 14, "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said to them, hearken to me, every one of you, and understand." Now here's our lesson. "There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man." So in other words, you know, this is a matter of the dietary laws, I would say, right? The Jews couldn't eat certain things. Other groups of people refrained from eating certain things because of tradition, you know. Have to be prepared a certain way or something of that nature. And Jesus says none of that is true. There's nothing that you put in your mouth that's going to defile your spirit and your heart. It doesn't reach that. It goes the other way, doesn't it? It goes through the stomach into, you know, out the other end. So at any rate, Jesus explained it to the people here that what we eat does not defile us spiritually. So the most important thing is to have a pure heart that loves God. That's the lesson that he's giving here. It's the heart that's important. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, it says in Luke. And sin, which comes from within, is what defiles a person. It's not what food we might eat. Now, that doesn't mean that we should eat everything, does it? I mean, let's be sensible about it. There's certain things that are not good for you, you know. And there are other regulations in different places in the Scripture. He tells you to be careful about how you, the things that you put in your body, because it's the temple of God and we're supposed to respect it, right? So that that's a different subject. But at any rate, it's not what we put into our bodies that defiles us, but it's what comes out. Notice in verse 17, and when he was entered into the house, now he's going to talk to his disciples. His disciples ask him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, are you so without understanding also? Don't you understand anything? He said, how many times do I have to tell you this? That's what he seems to be saying, isn't it? Do you not perceive that whatever thing from within, without enters into the man, it cannot defile him. Okay? Because it enters not into his heart, but into the belly, and goes out into the drought, purging all meats. I saw in another version it meant that it said something like making all foods pure. You know, something like that. I'm not sure exactly what that phrase means. But it sounds like you can eat whatever you want to eat, and it's okay. Well, Paul does say that in another place, I believe, doesn't he? So enjoy whatever you're having, right? But just don't eat too much of it. Okay, anyway. So he's asking him here, don't you understand what I'm trying to say? That which cometh out of the man, that's what defiles the man. Now he's explaining the same thing he's already told the crowd. Now he's telling his disciples, trying to get it across to them so that they will understand what he's saying. We're not defiled by what we eat, but it's in our hearts. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He answers the question. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. See? So it's from the heart. That's what we need to guard. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's from within our minds and our hearts that sin originates. And here now, Jesus lists out 13 different sins that come from the heart. Notice what they are here. We read this earlier, but in verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. That's where it all starts, isn't it? It's all in our minds and in our hearts. That's where the evil thoughts originate. You know? It starts there. And then he mentions adulteries, immorality, things of that nature. It comes from within our hearts and minds. Fornications. So whether you're married or whether you're unmarried, these sexual sins come from within, from your heart. Murders. Men hate somebody in his heart before he will actually kill them. Thefts. Covetousness. That is desiring others, what others have. Wickedness of all kinds. It all comes from within. Deceit. You have to, you know, take time to think about how I'm going to tell this lie so that I can get it across and get what I want, right? It's all within us. He says, lasciviousness, which I think means lust, right? Of all kinds, you know. An evil eye. blasphemy. Pride. Pride and foolishness. So he includes everything here pretty well, I think. I don't know what you would add to this list. That's quite the list. He says, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. It comes from our heart, from our minds, and it's not anything from outside. We can't blame anyone else. We need to take responsibility for ourselves and be cleansed from these things. All of the dietary laws and the ceremonial washings do nothing to change a man's heart. You know, you can obey those things from now on and still be wicked, sinful in your heart. By nature, man is a sinner. We know that, right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no exceptions. He has to be cleansed on the inside. We need to be cleansed, right? And we are only cleansed by what Jesus did for us on the cross. His precious blood that redeems us. And by the power of God working through His Word. Jesus told His disciples, He says, ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. So it's when we read the Word of God, and when we hear the Word of God, and we obey it, we believe it, we put our faith and our trust and our confidence in it, then we can be cleansed, right? Cleansed from all of our wickedness and our sins. God will forgive us if we will put our faith and trust in Him and in His Word, in the Lord Jesus. Warren Wiersbe has given us a good summary statement about the heart. I like this. Quote, he says, we must constantly remind ourselves that true religion comes from the heart. We believe with the heart. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. We love from the heart. Matthew 22:37. We sing from the heart. Colossians 3:16. We obey from the heart. Romans 6:17. We give from the heart. 2 Corinthians 9:7. And pray from the heart. Psalm 51, verses 10 and 11. So, the heart is what's essential, isn't it? Our heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. It says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So may the Lord help us to have our ideas straight and realize that we are saved by the blood of Christ. We'll be having communion here in a few moments. Not through anything that we've ever done, any works that we could do. Now, the Lord wants us to work, doesn't He? He wants us to serve Him, and we desire to do that. And that comes after, right? So, we put into practice the things in their proper place. It's fine. But when we replace the Word of God with our own ideas and traditions and customs, that's when we get out of line and are not able to do what God would have us to do. So may the Lord help us to understand and to follow through and realize that we need to keep our heart in tune with Him above all else. Lord, we thank You for Your Word to our hearts today and pray that You will speak to us and teach us these things and enable us that we might understand that You're the one who saves and we're the ones who enjoy the benefits that You give us. May we love You and may we serve You. May we honor You and magnify Your name in all that we do and say. May Christ, our blessed Savior, be glorified in all that we do. And we'll thank You for it in His name. Amen. All right.